This is the Oanda Podcast.
You're listening to the Oanda Market Pulse Podcast, talking to Oanda senior market analysts across the world. And today we are joined by Ed Moyer in New York. Good evening from London.
And happy payrolls from America.
Yes, indeed. The first Friday of the month, of course, that means it's non-farm payroll day, US jobs, and interesting figures. Jobs growth in the US continuing at a solid, although slowing pace, and that is despite the rising prices and higher borrowing costs weighing on the economy. So how have markets reacted?
It's been volatile. We saw initially yields spike higher on that first headline read. The expectations were for only 193,000 jobs to be created. 261,000 happened. And what was more impressive was those revisions. That was revised up to 315,000 for the prior month. And I think what you saw was there was this knee-jerk reaction of, oh no, the Fed might have to become a little bit more aggressive here because the labor market looks very strong and wage pressures are not easing up. We saw on a month-over-month basis, average hourly earnings came in a little bit hotter than expected. And I think what was quick, though, to happen was, I think markets realized, though, that this just justified Fed Chair Powell's hawkish press conference. And I think you're still looking at a Fed that can go ahead and raise rates at a pace that will, I think for many people, it's pretty clear, continue to lead this economy into a rough patch, which will probably be a recession at this maybe the second half of next year. So I think the Fed is going to need to remain committed to fighting inflation. One of the key moves shortly after this payrolls report was you saw Fed swaps prices start to price in a peak policy rate of 5.25 by the June time horizon. So I think you're really looking at a market that in just a couple weeks has gone from thinking we're going to see rates peak out at 4.75%, maybe 5%, to now 5.25%. And that is somewhat troubling for risky assets. And that's why we saw the initial sell-off. But because this labor market report does show the labor market is slowing down, and there's lots of reasons to believe that's going to continue. And that's why we rallied. But those gains have been wiped away. I think as far as stock market gains, and I think the key takeaway is that monetary policies is getting very restrictive here, and that you're probably going to have risky assets struggle over the short term. I think, you know, the key trade on Wall Street is still fade these rallies. It's hard to anticipate that inflation, especially given the wage data, is going to ease up anytime soon. So I think rates are going to be higher for longer, and that should prove troubling for stocks. So I think that's why we're giving back a lot of these gains. But I think overall, though, you have to like these numbers. There's so many key takeaways. I know we're not going to have much time to talk about oil, but it was fascinating for me because when you go through the report, you could see that oil and gas extraction jobs only rose by 400. So it's an oil market that's going to remain tight, especially if you're seeing that little amount of hiring done. So I think that was one of the little nuggets that I found interesting. But overall, it was a strong report. But I think, you know, there is signs that the trend is going to be lower. The 6-month, 12-month averages, everything is going as planned. And that should eventually help inflation.
Let's talk about that Fed conference on Wednesday evening, Ed, following the 75 basis points rise in interest rates. What did you make of it?
I think Wall Street got a nice little surprise. You had a reporter ask Powell about his reaction to the FOMC decision. And the reporter told Powell that, you know, stocks were higher. And I think what happened was the reporter might have had a delayed price or something, but stocks were actually down. So you had the Fed chair who was somewhat misled. It's hard to do these things on the fly.
Bit embarrassing for that reporter.
A bit embarrassing, but it provided a tremendous insight into how the Fed views the market reaction, and you really saw Powell. He did not hesitate. He delivered his greatest hawkish hits, and that to that I think made everyone realize that wow, Powell is going to remain aggressive with fighting inflation. And while they are going to, it seems very likely they're going to slow down the pace of increases. They're not going to end hiking until inflation is clearly slowing down. And I think one of the things that they were able to achieve is signal that, and I think Fed's Brainard was the one that her perspective is that you have long variable lags and they don't want to overdo tightening. So that's why they're going to go to half point increases, and then they're going to most likely you're going to see that these half point increases are going to be key into continuing to fight inflation, but they don't have to be as aggressive with 75. I think the economy is probably going to really weaken during the first quarter of next year. And I think Powell is very his job's easy right now. He's done a good job of convincing markets until the inflation report, which next week will most likely show. Inflation is coming down, but it's still very elevated, still significantly higher above their terminal rate. And I think you're going to probably see that the Fed is going to need to become very aggressive in that in maintaining that rhetoric that rates can stay higher for longer. And that's I think going to help push back some of those market expectations that the Fed could actually cut rates towards the end of next year. So I think inflation is going to prove to be stickier. It seems like it always is in throughout various cycles, but I think the Fed has convinced markets that they're doing the right thing.
Let's turn to the cryptocurrency market now, Ed, and specifically Bitcoin, which seems to be stuck at the moment around the $20,000 mark.
Well, right now, Bitcoin, it seems that you have all this money that came into the space over the past 2 years. It seems like it's not moving. There's been clear signs that the selling from the crypto winter has been exhausted, and you're not necessarily getting fresh capital coming into the space. And I think what's troubling for Bitcoin specifically is that you're also seeing a lot more interest go into these other cryptocurrencies, specifically that are blockchain protocol trades. So Ethereum, Solana, Avalanche, you're seeing a lot more interest go into those. And that's kind of what's I think made on moments when we've seen risk appetite look pretty attractive, Bitcoin is still somewhat anchored. Today's reaction to the non-farm payroll report was pretty significant, because it showed you that when stocks were much higher and before they paired their gains, Bitcoin struggled, but it did make it above 21,000. But I think what you're going to see is until we see capitulation, until we really get a sense of how does the stock market trade unfold? Does the S&P 500 break towards 3,500, or do we kind of just hover around 3,700? And I think that if the market is rather downbeat, you're probably going to see that Bitcoin is going to be stuck around 20,000 for quite some time. If inflation, though, shows signs that it is easing quickly, if there's much more demand destruction, you could see, I think, investors are going to become a little bit more optimistic here. And crypto could finally break out higher. But I think right now we're in this frustrating consolidation phase. But I think there is growing momentum. But I think, you know, as throughout every cycle, you go through the ups and downs. And I think right now the cryptoverse is still getting cleaned up. And I think we're going to have a great emphasis these next few months on regulatory, and also there's going to become a closer eye on rules put in place for stable coins.
Let's look ahead to next week now. The big political event where you are, of course, it'll be the midterm elections. Also, you've got the U.S. inflation report as well.
Next week, it's Super Tuesday. You're going to have the focus on the midterm elections. Right now, Republicans are looking pretty good. I think there's expectations that they're going to take the House. The Senate is there's some scenarios where they lose a seat, they gain a seat, which means we're still at gridlock, which means the vice president gets the tie-breaking vote. But in some scenarios, we could see the Republicans take both the House and the Senate. So I think it's going to be probably a limited market reaction, just because I think there's high confidence Biden is going to lose his blue wave. I think as far as markets go, it's always going to be about inflation, it seems. But I think you're going to see that investors are going to closely watch all these CPI readings. So not just for the U.S., but I think a lot of people pay close attention to China's data as well. The focus now shifting to other central banks. You know, we do have a key rate decision from Mexico. They're expected to remain aggressive. Their hikes have been pretty aggressive. They have their overnight rate at 10%, or it's expected to rise to 10% from 9.25%. But overall, I think you're going to see that there's a lot of focus on anything to do with inflation. So the United Nations will publish their food outlook report that comes on Thursday. And I think for me, I know that you're going to see that those University of Michigan consumer sentiment, or, you know, preliminary readings are going to be key on Friday. That rattled markets last month. So I think this is going to be a key one. Inflation expectations, that's the key. We'll see if those show any signs of coming down. And for China, they have their Singles Day. It's the big shopping event that's also on Friday. So lots of central banks speak from all the major central banks. For the UK, we got industrial production and GDP also on Friday. So a very busy week, and the focus will primarily be on inflation and also those midterm elections.
When is it not busy these days, Ed? It seems to be relentless at the moment.
There was no summer lull. I think we it's just been chaotic. But I think we'll get a nice little break. I think during those holiday period, the one thing that I think I like is after the December 14th meeting, the Fed does not get together until February 1st. So you'll see a little bit of a calm, hopefully, leading up to those labor and inflation reports. So hopefully we could see some calm in the markets.
Okay, well, enjoy your weekend, and we'll speak to you again very soon.
Thank you. You too.
This is the Oanda Podcast.